Good morning, everyone. Welcome to New Covenant Church. Well, let's pray real quick. Lord, we thank you so much for this wonderful day. We thank you for joy and happiness, Lord. I thank you that it just feels like a spirit of joy in the room today. And I'm thankful for that, Lord. I'm thankful that you're in our midst and that you always fulfill your promise that when we gather in your name, you're here. You're not just here in theory or in spirit. You're literally here, Lord, with us. And you're moving amongst us. And I think you're rejoicing with us, Lord. I think you're glad that Russell was born also, and Sarah Beth, Lord, and you sing with us. I pray that our worship reached you this morning, God. And it was a sweet-smelling aroma. It was pleasant to you, Father. I thank you for the body of Christ. I thank you that we're a big family here, Lord, and that we love one another, and you put that love in our hearts. I thank you for Phil's love for the prisoners, Lord. I thank you that you put that in his heart, and that he doesn't give up, and he goes whether anybody else goes or not. And I thank you for the prisoners that are graduating, Lord, that stayed for 40 weeks and had a great seed planted in them, Lord, by faithful men of God, like Mr. Robert, like Bobby, like Phil. I pray that you bless them for that. I pray, Father, that you bless this message and that you'll use me as a vessel, and the words that you want to get out will get out, Lord, and the ones you want to stay will stay. But I pray that everybody's ears will be open to hear and eyes will be open to see. And I pray that you bless your people today and that we'll leave changed and encouraged and rejuvenated and renewed in spirit. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, as a recap, last week we did testimonies again. And if you missed it, you missed something good. It's always good when we do testimonies. Y'all never fail me. I always think I'm going to, you know, say, do we have any testimonies? I'm going to be stuck up here. In fact, I pretty much always think that that's going to happen. And it just hasn't happened yet. So thank you. That would be awkward. But there was really good testimonies last week. I loved all of them. Me and Mr. Murphy were talking this morning about Autumn's testimony, about the little things and the decisions, about God providing some chairs for her. And Dean and I were talking about it and saying it's not about the chairs, it was about Autumn and his love for her. But a lot of people were affected by that. I had several people say things to me about it, Autumn. So thanks for, you know, having the courage to stand up and share. But it was really good. If you didn't hear it, you should ask Autumn about it. I love Miss Cheryl's testimony about God's faithfulness to redeem things, and just at the right time, the perfect time. And I love Sterling and JD's testimony about being led by the Holy Spirit. Both of those guys heard something and helped strangers. And when y'all told those testimonies, in my spirit, I just kept feeling like something is changing in that way. Maybe not changing, but that God's going to start doing that more if we're willing. But both of them helped somebody that they didn't know, just kind of hearing and listening and obeying to the Holy Spirit. And it takes some courage to do that sometimes. But they both did it. And I won't forget Madeline, because obviously she's part of it too. But anyway, I think God's going to start living in our lives like that if we're willing to hear. I want us to all be encouraged that as we leave here and go to work tomorrow morning or whatever we do, to be listening, to listen to the Spirit. I think he is wanting us to do things for him, and he's ready to bring us a harvest. So anyway, love the testimonies. God is moving in our lives, and that's always rich and good, and we're going to keep doing it. Amen. Well, the title of my sermon today is The Call to Endure. The Call to Endure. How many of you know we're called to be a people of endurance? A people that don't break easily. A people that don't give in and don't give up when times are tough. More so than the world. We ought to last much longer than the world lasts. Scripture says that a righteous man falls 7 times, but he gets up 7 times. He never stays down. But we're called to endure. This message came about in my heart, I think, because I talked to several people in the last few weeks that are just really struggling. T brought up some of the things this morning, struggling at work, struggling in their relationships, difficulties that are hard to bear. We all always are going through something, it feels like. But for me, recently at least, just talking to my friends, and there's just a lot of struggle going on, a lot of endurance needed. And as I was thinking about that, you know, endurance is a godly attribute. We're going to read in a minute, but the scripture says that Christ endured the cross. He endured it all. And he didn't just endure in a way of he just went through it. That's what the world does. The world just goes through it. They don't have a choice. But there's a difference between enduring and enduring well, and enduring to the glory of God. There's a big difference. And we want to be on the side of enduring to the glory of God. Amen? Amen. Wyatt and Luke and my crew at work have been on a really, really tough job. It's an underneath the house job. I own a heating and air business, for those of you that don't know. And, you know, attic jobs are tough in the summer, but underneath the house jobs are tough all the time. They're just physically demanding. You're laying usually on your back in dirt and mud, and you're dealing with sharp metal and itchy insulation, and it's just very, very difficult. And so Wyatt and the crew had been on there for about, I don't know, like 3 or 4 days, and we were just talking about the difficulty of that. But he was telling me about how it was difficult. It's one of the first jobs Wyatt's done under the house like that. We don't get them often. I usually turn them down because they're so hard. You'll lose your guys over them. You got to be careful. But as he was telling me about that, I was reminded of a story of my own life when I was just at the start of my business. I think I was 25 or 26, and I took a job with a guy named Matt Cox. Some of y'all might remember Matt. He was here for a long time, a little bit older than me, and he had a house over on Pride Street, and he asked me to run the ducts underneath the house, and I was young and ready to go. You know, I was going to take anything I could get. I was trying to start a business, trying to make money for my family. And I looked under there, and I remember the first time I looked, it was literally like that. I mean, when you crawled under there, you couldn't turn over, you know, so you're just pulling yourself in the dirt and the darkness. And I only had help about twice a week. And from a young guy, a young college guy that went to church here, he'd come in on Tuesdays and Thursdays. But so I went under there and started running all this duct, and this is in the wintertime, and I was pulling this metal down through there and attaching it. And about 8 days went by, and it was just brutal. And I was by myself most of the time trying to run all this duct. And I'll never forget it. One day over the weekend, it started pouring rain. And it poured and poured and poured. And it flooded underneath that entire home after I had ran all this duct and put this insulation on there. Well, that's catastrophic. I mean, if your ducts get wet underneath your house to the degree these were sitting in water, you know, you can't fix that. And so I didn't know what to do. And I was only about 3 months removed from my old job. And, you know, so I'm already second guessing myself of should I ever have started this business. And anyway, so Matt came over there with me, and I said, what do you think I should do? And he was like, man, I don't know, but I don't want to have, you know, wet ducts. And so I began the process of having to pull them all back out and reinstall everything. And this time, the way that I had to do it because of the flooding danger is I had to get under there with a little shovel, and I had to dig under, like laying on my stomach for each drop. I can't even believe I did it now. I could never do that now physically. But it took me another 8 days, and then it rained again and started to flood it again while I was under there. And I thought I had these trenches deep enough. I was learning still. But anyway, I remember going out into the backyard. Nobody was living there, and just started to cry, like literally crying, and crying out to God. I think I was on day 16 now. At this point, I knew I wasn't going to make any money. You know, I wasn't getting paid anymore. I doubled my time on it, doubled my materials. I just thought I'd made such a huge mistake. I was literally thinking about calling my old boss and just saying, can I have my job back? And but I heard something from God that day, and I felt like that it was important to share today, and it was, if you endure, I'll help you, and there will be a reward at the end. And I started to read the scripture about endurance way back then when I was 25, when I got encouraged. When the Spirit encourages you, you can do anything. I mean, you just change overnight. You change in an hour if the Spirit can get in you and encourage you like that. And the Holy Spirit began to encourage me, and He said for me to endure. So I went under there, and I did it all, and I got it finished. It ended up being, I think it was ultimately altogether like 20 days I was on this job. I didn't make anything whatsoever. But when I got done, Matt said, I can't believe you did all that, and you didn't run off. And I was thinking, you know, the old Brantley would have ran off. I really would have ran off. I would have not been able to endure that. I think after the second time it started raining, the old Brantley would have said, I'm sorry. I'm not going to make any money anyway. I'm not going to finish this. I'm out. But God, Christ in me, kept me on that job. And He said, well, I own 32 homes and you're now my new HVAC guy. And He gave me at least 30 jobs in that next year and a half. It was the beginning and the foundation of my entire business. I mean, like, I couldn't have, it just buoyed everything. It literally skyrocketed me to having my own business. It provided for my children. It gave me enough money to live. Just him alone, I survived that first entire year of business. But it was all because I was able to endure. It's all because I heard God tell me to endure and was encouraged to be able to endure. And you know what I thought it was awesome too is that it surprised Matt. It surprised the guy, my contractor. He said, I thought you were going to run off and not finish it. And he said, I wouldn't have blamed you if you did. When we endure, and we endure well, the world sees it differently and they're surprised. And God used him to give me a reward, even though I don't think he had anything with God at all. But we're called to be a people of endurance. That built character in me too. I knew that once I did that, I could do anything. And I mean it. I mean, that still to this day was the hardest job I've ever done. But we're called to be a people of endurance. And endure. Like I said, there's a difference between enduring and enduring well. We want to endure well. We want to be people that can endure and not whine about it too much and not complain about it while you're going through it as much. You need to talk when you're struggling and you're enduring hardship and you're going through a long trial. You need to talk to people. But enduring well is doing what Christ did. He just did it. He did it with a joyful heart. That's hard to do. I'm not saying I did that on that job at all. But we want to be that way. We want to be people that can endure, not complain in the middle of it all. We want to be strong. Let's see here. The Bible is full of people who endured extreme circumstances and glorified God. Job, Abraham, Sarah, Mary, the mother of Jesus, Jeremiah. The list goes on and on of people who had to endure hardship. It is a mark of people of God that they endured and were victorious and didn't give in the moment, in the difficulty. I want to encourage you today to endure, to not give up. Whatever it is you're facing right now, don't give up. Endure, and there will be a reward. Endure well. Do it in such a way that the people around you look at you and say, how are you so happy during this time? How are you so confident during these days? Endure that way, that the world looks at you and sees Christ in you during the trial. Everybody can do fine and be happy when things are going well, right? When everything's going smooth and easy. But when you're going through a trial, especially one that everybody knows you're going through, and you do it in a way that is glorifying God, where you're not complaining and not whining about it. It's unique. It's against the grain, and people will look at that and glorify God. Turn with me to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, please. 1 through 12. Let's look at some scriptures on enduring. Hebrews 12 says, therefore, since we are surrounded, let me go back real quick for context. We just got through Hebrews 11, the Hall of Faith, with people, you know, when Paul is describing all the men and women of God who went through all kinds of terrible things and kept their faith and endured to the end. So then he says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run our race. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame. And he sat down at the right hand at the throne of God. It says, consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Isn't that good? In your struggle against sin, you have not resisted to the point of shedding blood. And you have forgotten the word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and don't lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those that he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as sons. So endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you like a son. For what son is not disciplined by his father? And if you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirit and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and your weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. That's an encouraging scripture. The first point that I want to make is that Jesus had to endure hardship also. That's encouraging for a number of reasons to me. One is that it shows that you can be doing everything right and still have to endure hardship. Christ had no sin in him. A lot of times we think we're going through difficulty because we've sinned in some way. Christ had no sin, and he went through the most difficult hardships that there are in all of life. And he had done nothing wrong. Nothing at all. It was important to God for him to go through difficulty. Scripture says that Christ learned obedience through suffering. His sufferings and his life overflow into ours. He lives in us. If you really believe that he lives in us, then it should be never a surprise when we go through difficulty. He died on the cross. He was constantly being mistreated. And he lives in us. He told us this. He said, you're going to go through these things. He said, they hated me, they're going to hate you. That's all there is to it. He said, there's going to be trouble in this world. Like you're saying, T, there's going to be trouble in this world. But take heart, he said, as I've overcome the world. But we should never be shocked as what is going on, what happened. Christ, if you have Christ in you, and you're actually doing things for him, and he's alive and well in you, you're going to run into opposition. We have to remember that. We have to remember that. It's so important. If not, you just crumble under life. And you say, why? Well, it could be simply just because Christ lives in you. That's it. Because he did nothing. The second reason why it's so encouraging is because he suffered and he endured, he can identify with us while we suffer and endure. When you pray to Jesus, he understands. I know you've heard that, and that sounds somewhat cliche, but he really understands. He's been through everything. The Bible says that clearly. He said he's been tempted in every single way. Every way. In your mind, there's nothing excluded. I mean, he has been through everything. And he not only went through it, he endured well, and he had victory on the other side. So he's been where you have been, and he's been beyond. And so when you're talking to him, he understands and he can help you through it. He endured hardship for the joy set before him. He can identify with us. The scripture says, consider him so that you don't grow weary. Remember that when you're facing a trial, a difficulty. It says, consider Christ. Remember him so that you don't grow weary. I know y'all are weary. I know y'all are weary and you're tired. I'm tired. I had my own trials this summer. We have to remember to consider him and what he went through. And then he in us is our hope. We not only get to talk to him, but he lives in us and he strengthens us and he encourages us. But we must consider him when we're in the trial. And not grow weary in doing good. Our mentalities need to be that it is an honor. It's an honor to endure hardship for our Lord. We need to remember that. If you can grab a hold of that mentality, your life will change. There's a scripture where James and John, can't remember, when they were beat for preaching in the synagogue. And the scripture says they ran out rejoicing that they were found worthy to suffer for the king, to suffer like him. They were flogged. We haven't resisted to the point of shedding blood. So the first point is Jesus endured hardship. And if you are in him and he is in you, you will also. Second point is that God is treating you like sons. Be encouraged. And daughters. Sons and daughters of the King. Scripture says that if you don't endure hardship in his discipline, you're not a legitimate child of God. And I don't want to be an illegitimate child. I want to be the real thing. And I've endured before. So I know I'm a son. And I know a lot of you are too. But we want to be real children of God, real legitimate children. He's treating us as sons. All sons and daughters endure hardship and discipline. He said he disciplines those that he loves. Scripture says that we just read, it says that we share in his holiness when we endure hardship. And I think that's interesting. Holiness, holy means to be set apart, to be unique, to be different. And so when you're enduring hardship for his name, in his name, you are unique and different. And that's what we want. We want to be different. We want to be different from the world. We want the world to look at us while we're living our lives and ask us why we can handle these things. We want to be unique. Scripture says that if we can endure the hardship, We will share in his holiness. Third point is enduring hardship produces a harvest. Scripture says, no discipline is pleasant at the time, but painful. But later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. And how many of you want a harvest? How many of you want to be righteous? How many of you want peace? We have to go through the difficulty in order to get that. Scripture says that we have to be trained by it. So you're not going to just go through one trial, one simple trial. It's becoming, enduring well takes reps like anything else. It's like baseball, you know, you don't get good unless you take 1,000 reps, you know, more than 1,000, however many it is. You have to go through this a lot. And what you'll find is that if you try to run from the trial and you're a son or a daughter of God, you'll run and you can, he'll let you leave on that trial, but he's going to catch you on the next one. Have you found that to be true before? You just can't outrun it. If he loves you, he'll find you at the next place and you'll go through it again. The path of least resistance, usually not ever the right thing. There's the saying that the path of least resistance makes men and rivers crooked. You can't run from it. You want to be able to endure it. Embrace it when you're going through it. I know that's easier said than done, but we're here for you. We're here for each other for when that happens. And I've had to endure a lot, and I've had my brothers there to lift me up. My family has been there to lift me up. But you can endure. And God will help you. And the body of Christ will help you. But we have to be trained by it. And you have to know you're not going to just go through it once. You're going to go through it many times in your life. And it's building something in you that you can't get otherwise. It's building a character in you that you won't be able to get any other way. The last point is the one I just kind of made already, is that endurance produces character. Let's turn to James 1 real quick and we'll just read it. See, you read my verse earlier. And you all know the scripture. It says, this is 1:2, James 1:2, consider it pure joy, my brother, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. Let's skip to 9. It says, the brother in humble circumstances ought to take pride in his high position. But the one who is rich should take pride in his low position, because he will pass away like a wildflower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. It blossoms, its blossom falls, and its beauty is destroyed. And in the same way, the rich man will fade away even as he goes about his business. It says, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. Because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised for those who love him. So again, hardship, enduring hardship and difficulty is producing something in you that you won't get otherwise. Important to remember. Be encouraged. Be encouraged when you're in the trial. Remember these things. Remember the things we're talking about today. It will help you to soar through it. It's building something in you. It's making you more like him. How many of you want to be more like Christ? We say that all the time. And this is the route. This is the way. It is going to be through enduring hardship. Not only, but that is a big portion of it. But it's an honor to suffer for him. It's an honor to endure for him. And we want to learn to endure well. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, stand up and I'll pray for you real quick and we'll go home. Lord, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for your encouragement, Lord. I thank you that you endured to show us how that we can endure. I thank you that you endured well and that you were victorious, Lord, and that you want to help us. You want to be there for us in our trials, Lord. I thank you that you love us enough that you don't leave us like we are. But you present things to us that will pressure us, Lord, and build us. And this is the way that you do your surgery, Lord. You begin to remove things from us and put things in us during trials. You're making us into your likeness. You're building us to look like you. You're building us as a body also, Lord. And every time any of us endure hardship and come out on the other side, it's a gift to the body. So, Lord, I pray that anybody here that's struggling and that is having to endure something like that, that you help them, Lord, that you fill them with the Holy Spirit, that you give them peace and rest in their heart, no matter what the circumstance is. I pray also, Father, that the body of Christ will lift them up, Lord, that they'll come to the body of Christ, ask for help, and they'll receive it, Lord. I pray that you help us to love one another in that way. I pray that none of us will fall, that we will endure to the end. Bless your people, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.